Welcome to The Manly Catholic. In this podcast, we will inspire, challenge, and equip all men to become the men they were created to be. Join us as we journey together to become the best versions of ourselves and strive to change our communities one man at a time. Hello all, welcome to another episode of The Manly Catholic. This is James, your host, and tonight I have a special guest with you. It is Patrick O'Hearn. Now, some of you may have known Patrick from, he's written actually several books. He's a husband and father, has authored at least seven books, including The Parents of the Saints, Nursery of Heaven, The Shepherd at the Crib and the Cross, Courtship of the Saints, which I actually have as well, The Grief of Dads, Go and Fear Nothing, and the book actually we'll be discussing tonight, which is Our Lady of Sorrows. As you can see there, very beautiful book. This is brought to you by Sophia Press Institute. And Our Lady of Sorrows is, I have spoken about this a couple times on the podcast. Our Lady of Sorrows, a specific devotion, which we'll be talking about, very powerful and very near and dear to my heart as well. And I actually wanted to do, before we got started with the interview, I wanted to do a prayer to Our Lady of Sorrows. I'm going to pull it up here. So sorry, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Most Holy Virgin, Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the overwhelming grief you experienced when you witnessed the martyrdom, the crucifixion, and death of your divine Son, look upon me with eyes of compassion, and awaken in my heart a tender commiseration for those sufferings, as well as a sincere detestation of my sins, in order that being disengaged from all undue affection for the passing joys of this earth, I may sigh after the eternal Jerusalem, and that henceforth all my thoughts and all my actions may be directed towards this one most desirable object. Honor, glory, and love to our Lord, to our divine Lord Jesus, and to the Holy and Immaculate Mother of God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, we'll be talking about Our Lady of Sorrows. We'll be talking about the history behind the devotion, why it is so important, why especially for you as men really need to dive into this devotion, especially in your families. It's very powerful. I cannot recommend enough. We'll talk about the seven promises that St. Bridget was given for those who dedicate and say this devotion every single day. So again, can't wait for you guys to listen. Before we jump into the interview, though, as always, please, if you guys, please pray for us. Please pray for Father Dom in this ministry. We are reaching so many men. We're getting so many good feedback from people all across the world, actually, really, which is very cool to see the work that God is doing through me and through Father Dom. If you do have the financial wherewithal to support us through Patreon, we actually have a new sponsor with Mystic Monk Coffee. And so if you support us at a certain level, if you go to the Patreon page, you can check out all the details, but we will actually send you a free bag of coffee for Mystic Monk. So please, if you're able to support us on Patreon, please pray for us. Please check out and subscribe to our YouTube page if you're not already listening to us on YouTube. And yeah, all of the proceeds that you guys send to us will go into support our priests as well. So not only Mystic Monk Coffee, but also help train exorcists through, you've heard Dr. Dan Schneider on a couple times, Jesse Romero, through the Liber Christo and Father Ripker's exorcist training. So some of our proceeds goes to them as well. So support our priests, support the Manly Catholic podcast, and help us reach as many men as possible. So without further ado, let's jump into that conversation with Patrick O'Hearn, and we'll talk about Our Lady of Sorrows. Hope you enjoy. God bless. Hello all, welcome to another episode of the Manly Catholic. This is James, your host, and today I'm interviewing a very special guest that I'm very excited for this conversation. It is Patrick O'Hearn. Patrick, welcome to the Manly Catholic podcast.
It's good to be here, James.
Yeah, Patrick has written many books, but tonight we're going to be talking about one that is actually very near and dear to my heart, and it is Our Lady of Sorrows, Devotion to Mary's Seven Sorrows for Children. And it's brought to you by Sophia Institute Press, and I'll flash this beautifully illustrated book, by the way, which is born by Adelaide Hude. Am I saying that correctly, Patrick?
That's right.
Yeah, it's an amazing book. Like I said, Our Lady of Sorrows is very near and dear to my heart, which I wanted dive into a little bit. But before we get going, I think it's very appropriate, Patrick, that we say a Hail Mary to our Blessed Mother. So we'll start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now and at our death. Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Patrick, to always kick off my interviews, I love to ask, if you could be the patron saint of anything, what would it be and why?
I was going to say the patron saint of finding a spouse. I've written a book on the courtship of the saints, but as we were talking before the show, I think there's St. Raphael that's there. So I'm actually going to go with the patron saint of mold. And the reason is I've battled, my family and I, fortunately, we experienced toxic mold. And I mean, it's a brutal story, but it's just, I know going through that that suffering that was involved in that. I'm very even now, like I'm very sad, a lot of strong symptoms again, like when I'm in an old building or anything, I just struggle with it. So I want to be the patron saint of those against mold.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Mold is nasty. It's interesting that, yeah, some people are much more sensitive to that sort of thing. I know like my wife too, she's sensitive to mold, but also cigarette smoke as well. It's like, so even if I haven't smelled anything, she's like, oh yeah, someone's smoking. It's like, where? No, it's like instant nausea for her and everything. It's crazy. The heightened sense of smell.
I'm sure there's a lot of other ones that are more glamorous, you know, like getting your tooth pulled out or, I mean, just anything. But I figured like no one, I don't think there's a patron saint against mold. I didn't see it yet. So that would be one.
That'd be you. That's you. That's Patrick O'Hearn, right?
That's right.
Oh, I love that. Well, hey, let's talk about this book because Our Lady of Sorrows, and it's a beautiful devotion. I want to dive into the history of that. But also the fact that you wrote it for children too, I thought that was very interesting and something very powerful as well. But before we kind of get into that, I kind of want just to dive into a bit of the history of it because, again, this is a very powerful devotion of the church has known for centuries, for many years. And so why don't you just give our listeners, Patrick, a bit of a background on Our Lady of Sorrows, and we'll start from there.
It's mostly during the Middle Ages, there was the order, the Servite order. You know, it's founded the seven holy founders. I believe their feast day is, I want to say it's February 17th or so. So these seven men, as Our Lady appeared to them, they were from Florence and wanted devotion to her sorrowful heart. So that's kind of where the first kind of the inspiration behind this devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. And then as it progressed through the Middle Ages, then Our Lady, she appeared to St. Bridget of Sweden and gave these great promises that we have in the book. You know, one of them is, my favorite one is, I will protect you at, at every moment against the infernal enemy. And so for those who are devoted who say seven Hail Marys a day, you know, and there's other devotions, you know, in relating to this Our Lady of Sorrows. So in 1918, Our Lady appeared in Rwanda, Kabeho. These seven sorrows rosary, you know, to be prayed on Tuesdays and Fridays. And so that's saying Our Father, seven Hail Marys. And but this, the one I focus on my book is the seven Hail Marys. But it's, this devotion, I think, is becoming more prominent today, you know, and even the exorcist Father Chad Rivinger, you know, I was blessed to have him write the foreword for my book and write four original prayers. And he's kind of, I would say, one of the, you know, one of the greatest proponents of this devotion. So again, it started in the Middle Ages, and I think it's really ramping up in these times of persecution and suffering.
Yeah, I know. That's one thing that I noticed that really popped out to me, too, is that Father Ripker wrote the foreword. And I know Father Dom and me have talked about Father Ripker many times, and he's kind of like one of my spiritual heroes, so to speak, nowadays. But no, he has a very strong devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows, and I think for a very good reason as well. And then for maybe those of you who aren't totally familiar with Our Lady of Sorrows, we're going to go through the seven, are the first of all, the seven sorrows of Mary. So the first one is the prophecy of Simeon. The second one is the flight into Egypt. The third is the loss of Jesus for 3 days. The fourth, I love hearing all your kids in the background, by the way. That's the best. The
fourth. I could tell my wife to call on her. If you
no, absolutely not, Patrick. I love it. It's the best. The fourth is the carrying of the cross. The fifth is the crucifixion of Jesus. The sixth is Jesus is taken down from the cross. And seven is Jesus is laid in the tomb. And I do want to kind of spin off into a little bit of a personal narrative here. So, you know, I grew up Protestant, so I'm a convert as of 6 years ago now. Easter was my 6 year anniversary. And Our Lady, you know, Mary was not something that really tripped me up coming into the church, but, you know, like I didn't understand the full devotion to her. Even when I entered the church, like I understood it like logically, but, you know, emotionally and spiritually, I didn't like fully embrace that until I discovered Our Lady of Sorrows. And especially after I had our first son, and I think you could probably relate to any father out there, especially who has a boy, that really drew me into Mary, because when you go through it, you can just picture your own boy going through what Jesus was going through. And what I love about your book too, Patrick, is you really put flesh and bones into each sorrow. And again, the illustration too by Adelaide Hude, it really brings it to life. And that's what I love so much, because I've been going through it the last few days and praying over it and reflecting on it. And one of them too, like even the end where it's like, imagine, you know, Jesus, when Mary brought Jesus into the world, she wrapped him in a cloth because he was naked and she clothed him. as a baby. But then now at the end, when she wraps him and embraces him in a cloth, it's because he had died. And so just that contrast going from, again, when he was an infant to the seventh, where then Mary embraces him in the tomb and wraps him. It just, it really speaks to me. And again, for those of you who are not familiar with it, it's a very powerful devotion. So I kind of wanted to ask you, Patrick, what made you focus so much on Our Lady of Sorrows, and why in particular for children did you find it appropriate to write a book for them on this? Because it is pretty deep and dark as well, if you want to think about it, if you're really reflecting on it. I mean, because they're probably powerful moments in Mary's life that, you know, obviously Our Lady of Sorrows, it kind of brings to fruition what happened during her lifetime.
Yeah, there's a couple ones that is interesting. I just saw my aunt recently, and I love her immensely. She, unfortunately, you know, she's no longer Catholic. She's Protestant. She said a comment to me, like, something about, like, Mary is really nothing special. And I said, I've got an argument with her before, and I just said, like, well, she's full of grace. And I'm actually going to send her an article after this, because I felt like I didn't want to argue with her, because I've argued so many times. And I was just like, I was just so tired, but I'm going to send her an article. But this one article I wrote, is called Our Lord's Hidden Wound. And it's just the fact that our Lord has these five visible wounds, you know, that we know, you know, it's piercing his hands, his feet, and his side. But his sixth wound, I believe, is that his mother is not in love. And we can see that so many Protestants, when they saw the Passion of the Christ, they were moved. When they can't be helped but moved, but when they see Mary, you know, throughout that movie, you know, it's like the two of them are suffering together, like the co-redemptrix, Mary and Jesus. And so I guess part of my writing this book, to go back to your question, is I just see like how much Mary has suffered with Jesus, and yet so few people notice that, appreciate it. It's like she's forgotten. And even during Lent season, it's like, you know, even Catholics, we forget about the pain of Mary. And the thing is that Jesus is showing us that when we focus on her sorrows, she leads us to the Man of Sorrows. And so she takes us by the hand. And it's not about, you know, it is consoling Mary's heart, but when we console her heart, you know, we also console Jesus's heart. So I think part of it just this appreciation for Mary, how much she suffered for us. And that's why I wanted to write it. And also to have children be exposed to, you know, this idea of suffering in a beautiful way that's not going to scare them. You know, even Adelie, I didn't want her, you know, she could have made the crucifixion with Jesus was covered with blood everywhere all over. And, you know, I love those crucifixes, don't get me wrong. And we did have, you know, she didn't shy away from, you know, in the images of the pain of Jesus, but it's a gentle way, I think, twofold, you know, to get married, to be loved, to remember how much she suffered for us, and also to introduce our children to this idea of redemptive suffering, walking with Mary to Calvary, to Jesus's Calvary with Mary.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think a mistake that people make, especially parents, obviously our job as parents is to protect and shield our children, but also to speak about and talk about these big topics that I think sometimes we shy away from, like the idea of suffering as well. I mean, the center of our faith is that Jesus died and rose again, you know, and that's a pretty big topic for kids of any age, really, to kind of comprehend. But even just, like you said, introduce this in a way, and I think, too, like bring it through the eyes of Mary, because I think a lot of kids, too, can relate to a spiritual mother or a mother figure, of course, their own earthly mom, but also with Mary as well. So I just love how, again, you introduce it, but it's not in a gruesome way, like you said, because the things that are touched about in the devotion can be pretty powerful and deep for a lot of people, especially adults, if you really dive into it, you know, the wounds and the suffering that Mary really went through. And you did mention too, Patrick, the promises that St. Bridget of Sweden received. Do you mind if we speak about the promises that were given to her and expand on that a little bit?
Yes, yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening. I just want to take a brief moment to thank one of our sponsors, which is Mystic Monk Coffee. Now, Mystic Monk Coffee is... Thank you all so much for listening to another episode. I just want to take a brief pause and tell you about one of our sponsors. I want to thank Mystic Monk Coffee. For the best coffee for a great cause, we recommend Mystic Monk Coffee, roasted with prayer by the Carmelite monks in Wyoming. Mystic Monk Coffee has the ultimate cup waiting for you. See more at mysticmonkcoffee.com. If you decide to support the podcast on our Patreon page at the $20 per month or above level, we will actually send you a free bag of Mystic Monk Coffee of your choice, and we'll even pay for shipping for you. As y'all know, one of our missions with the podcast is to help support our priests as well. So what better way than to combine coffee with priesthood? I don't think there's a better combination even better than peanut butter and jelly. And I love peanut butter. So go check out their website today, mysticmonkcoffee.com. You can also check out our website, support us on Patreon, and we'll send you that free bag of coffee. And that's enough of me chit-chatting. Let's get back to that amazing Manly Catholic episode. God bless.
And, you know, there's seven promises. And, you know, in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you know, there's like 12 promises. But in Our Lady of Sorrows, we have these seven. And, it's, you know, it's kind of appropriate because there's seven sorrows. And I have to grab my book to remember them exactly. But, you know, the first one is, you know, I will grant peace. And, you know, and that's the same thing with the Sacred Heart. Like, I will grant peace to families. And then as we go through them, you know, the next one is they will be enlightened about the divine mysteries. And I think that that applies to not only the mysteries of Christ, but Father Ripinger mentions that this devotion is, you know, Our Lady of Sorrows. She helps reveal our sin vices, our hidden sins. And so she enlightens about the mystery of ourself, you know, and it can lead us to even further repentance. And then the third one is I will console them in their pains and I will accompany them in their work. And the fourth promise is I will give them as much as they ask for. Is it okay if I go through them all, or do you want me just to...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Nope, I will
give them as much as they ask for, as long as it does not oppose the adorable will of my divine Son or the sanctification of their souls. And the fifth promise is I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy. And I will protect them at every instant of their lives. And the sixth, I will visibly help them at the moment of their death. They will see the face of their mother, which is beautiful. And then the seventh, this I've obtained from my divine Son that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and dolors will be taken directly from this earthly life to eternal happiness, that all their sins will be forgiven, and my Son and I will be their eternal consolation and joy. So God willing, when I die, I'm going to say to Saint Bridget, you know, and maybe you'll say, hey Saint Bridget, if this doesn't happen, I'll be like, well, you know, this what did you do? You said I could go. Actually, it's Our Lady told Saint Bridget, but I didn't write that secretly so I could, like, I could go straight. I'll tell you though, when you pray this devotion, I mean, if that's the case that you're going to go straight to heaven, that means you're also going to suffer a lot. And it shouldn't be, you know, I shouldn't be afraid of that, but it is, you're going to join in, like, you know, the closest followers of Christ are those who suffer the most. You know, it's just... but anyways, those promises are, they're so powerful. I've seen it in my own life. You know, Mary's protection from things that, you know, that are just diabolical. I've had, you know, just so much protection. And so in a sense, it was a way for me to give back to Our Lady. So I have seen the fruit of praying. And I have a little statue behind me of the seven sorrows. And I really believe it. It's like, if I forget to say it at night, like Our Lady reminds me, you know, she's like, you know,
Patrick.
That's what the statue does. Because I'll be working it late at night, and then I walk by it, and I'm like, oh, yep.
Whoopsies,
I
mean, yeah.
But I feel like, and I think why it's so important is it takes a couple minutes. And you know, and I think sometimes we think that we have to pray all these devotions and everything. But if you can only pick a couple devotions, obviously the rosary is the most important devotion. And that can take 16 to 18 minutes. But, you know, if you can pick up even the Divine Mercies, you know, 7 minutes or whatever, but like this one is so short, and yet the fruit is so powerful.
Patrick, was it Flannery O'Connor, or maybe it was a different saint who said basically the idea of Jesus, his closest friends suffer the most, and she said it's no wonder you have so few friends, or something like that, something yeah, witty like that.
That was true. Yeah, Saint Teresa of Avila said that.
That was Saint Teresa. Okay, yeah. So thank you for correcting me. But yeah, I just love that quote because it's true. Those who are closest to him, because you know, I actually in the morning offering this morning there was a quote. I forgot where it was from, but it was basically talking about that God allows Satan and his demons to basically gives them enough of a leash, so to speak. And it's not to punish us by any means, but it's actually to build us up and to help us grow in virtue. And again, look at Mary, his own mother, who suffered, you know, profoundly more than most of us will ever suffer in our life, just because of what she went through, because she literally, you know, walked with Jesus through Calvary and his crucifixion and everything. Yes. She was right there with him every step in the way. And, you know, our Lady is, you know, going back to the fifth promise, I wanted to kind of ask you about this as well, because this is something that is so powerful for me. It says, I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy, and I will protect them at every instant of their lives. I know you mentioned Father Ripperger too, who cannot say enough powerful things about Our Lady, especially when it comes to the spiritual battle. And I want to kind of kick that to you. I'm sure in your research that you've done as well, you've seen Our Lady of Sorrows come up frequently with spiritual warfare, with exorcism, with Father Ripperker as well. Why do you think this devotion in particular, Patrick, is so powerful when it comes to not only in the realm of exorcism and spiritual warfare, but individuals as well, and why so many people, when they invoke Our Lady, have found they are able to better battle against Satan and his demons?
I think a demon actually revealed to Father Ripperker that Mary's greatest triumph was when she's standing at the foot of the cross. And so we can imagine, you know, our own lives, like the greatest, the things that affect us the most are the suffering that we experience. And so for us to be united with Our Lady in those moments, that's when I feel like we are the strongest, you know, and like what St. Paul says, like, in my weakness, I'm strong. And I think that those moments, you know, when we're suffering, that's why I feel like we unite our sufferings with Our Lady and then Christ, and we can conquer, you know, with their grace, you know, we can conquer anything. And often that's when the devil comes at us, when we're in our lowest moments, or whether it's, you know, it's battling some kind of illness, cancer, job loss, financial difficulties, you know, in our marriage, it's like, that's when all of hell is unleashed, so because we're so vulnerable. But at the same time, at those moments, that's when, like, God is closest to us and Our Lady. So I think that's why I think in the spiritual battle, like, if we can, you know, be strong in those moments of weakness, it's like, you know, how much more when we're, you know, like in times of prosperity, but like, if, you know, so almost like the Job. I don't know if there's a necessarily that answers your question, but I think that there's an element where it's like, just, I don't know, in the movie, The Passion of Christ, it's like Satan thought he had won. And it's like, he realized, no, like, you were defeated. And so through the cross, that's when, you know, our moment of, I think, our greatest triumph comes.
Yeah. No, amen. And, you know, Patrick, was there a time in your life or a turning point in your life where, I guess, Our Lady of Sorrows, this particular devotion, kind of really came to the surface for you? Or maybe not you, it just came across your studies. But I am curious, I always like to ask all this, because, again, this is a very powerful devotion to that. Was there a personal connection to Our Lady of Sorrows for you?
I think I started, especially in college, I kind of fell in love with, there's a St. Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows. He's a Passionist lay brother. He had a great devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. And then actually visited the home where Mother Angelica was cured in Ohio. There's a mystic called Rhoda Wise, and Saint Therese would appear to her, Jesus would appear to her, and her cause for canonization is open. I went into her house and I saw all these beautiful little statues. And at that moment, you know, I was like, I need to have a statue of Our Lady. And I've just been drawn to Our Lady of Sorrows. Maybe I've kind of mentioned, I have some melancholic tendencies in me. And so I've always loved, like, the bloody crucifix. And I just see Mary, you know, it's like you see the smile. And, like, don't get me wrong, like, I wear a miraculous medal. I love, like, Our Lady of the miraculous medal image. Mm-hmm. There's something about just seeing our mother, like, her heart, just like, you know, it's like, I being her son, it's like, I want to console her. I see how much pain she's in. And I found a quote by St. Alphonsus, and he said that Jesus's interior sufferings were 1,000 times greater than his exterior sufferings. So, and we know in Mary, everything that she suffered in her soul is what Jesus suffered in his body. And so, like, I guess trying to wrap my brain around that is, like, she suffered so much. And again, it's just this idea of me just wanting to, like, console her. And we often console the heart of Jesus, but I think that we rarely console Mary's heart. So I think that, I guess there's, I was just drawn into just wanting to console our mother's heart.
Yeah. No, gosh, I love that image too, Patrick, because, you know, again, growing up Protestant is, you know, it's always, you know, just go straight to Jesus. But, you know, I actually have a friend too who is struggling a little bit, and, you know, he says, sometimes I feel like it's hard to talk to Jesus. And I go, why don't you just talk to Mary? Because where is Mary going to lead you to? She always leads you back to the Son. But, you know, again, too, because Jesus is obviously God, and, you know, he can be intimidating at times too, especially wherever you're going through your life. And a lot of times it's just a mental blockade that you're going through. But, you know, Mary, I mean, the more I dive into Mary and just the apparitions that she's appeared over the years, and how much she loves us and how much she desires to help us, and she's always leading us to her Son. And we just have to ask for her help, because she is more than willing to drop down her hand of grace and lift us up to her Son. And I just, the more I'm reading about it, and Our Lady of Sorrows too, diving deep into this, reading your book as well, it just, we can't grasp it. We really can't. And, you know, we try to put it in human terms and in human words, but we really don't understand the amount of love and the amount that these saints, especially our Blessed Mother, love us, and they want to help us, lead us to heaven. And I don't know, any thoughts that you have maybe on that? to expand on.
You know what? I think that, you know, it's like if we knew how much Mary like loved us, we would literally die of joy. And I think that anything that we can do, you know, like I think of Saint Bernard of Clairvaux said, like, don't be afraid, that you can never love Mary too much. You can never love her as much as Jesus. And there is this, you know, this tendency to feel like, oh, what if I love Mary too much? And no, I mean, she's always pointing to Jesus. Like, so even that devotion of her heart, I really believe Our Lady of Sorrows, it's a devotion also to the Sacred Heart at the same time, because you're consoling her heart and at the same time you're consoling Jesus's heart. And it was interesting in St. Alphonsus's book, Glories of Mary, it's my favorite book on Mary. And one, Our Lady appeared to one mystic and said, consoling Jesus's heart is beautiful. Jesus said, like, when you console my heart, it's beautiful. But when you console my mother's heart, it brings me even more joy. Mm. And so I think that we should never be afraid of loving Our Lady too much. And she will always lead us to Christ.
100%. Yeah, you can't love Mary too much. You know, and it's Jesus' mom. Like, of course he's going to, if we have a devotion to her, of course he's going to appreciate and love that too. So, I mean, because he loved her more than any of us could ever love her. So
and it's like, it's not, you know, the end all too. It's like Our Lady of Sorrows. Yes, it's like, My the end all of Our Lady of Sorrows is to go to the heart of Christ. So she's, again, it's pointing to her son, but she's kind of like that vehicle to enter in. And, you know, I don't know, you know, again, we were commanded at the foot of the cross, like, John, behold my mother, and all of us are little Johns. And she's, and Jesus is like, behold my mother, the overheart.
Gosh, yeah, that image too. Gosh, we could talk about that as well. It's just so beautiful when Jesus said those words. And so many people totally miss the significance and the meaning behind that as well. But Patrick, was there, I guess, anything in your research for this book, and as you dive deeper into the devotion, that maybe surprised you or you kind of unexpected that turned up for you, that has really just kind of expanded your knowledge and your devotion to Our Lady?
Yeah, I would say, like, I think just contemplating this mystery, I think just seeing how Bethlehem and Calvary are just, they're so connected, you know. And I had this image of Our Lady, I don't know who the painter is, but it's over 100-year-old image. It's Our Lady, she's holding Christ, she's looking at him, but it's like a tender love, but it's also a sorrowful look, and because she knows that her son is going to die someday. So I think too often, like, we divorce the Christmas story from the Passions. And I wrote a children's book called The Shepherd at the Crib and the Cross. It's a fictional story, but I connect those two stories. But I think through my research and just seeing, like, that there, if we can, I don't know just how connected they are. And, you know, Mary, even at Bethlehem, was thinking of Calvary, but then at Calvary, she's going back to Bethlehem. And so they're just, it's just these two mysteries that are one. And so I think that was kind of something that Our Lady put on my heart as I was writing this book.
Yeah, gosh, that's so profound. And I just love that too. And just, again, there's so much depth and so much into it that you can dive into each and every day as you go through this devotion and each sorrow for Mary as well. Now, Patrick, I guess a word of advice for especially fathers who maybe get this book and, you know, as they're leading their children, leading their families in this, anything in particular you'd like to offer in terms of advice for, or the importance of the father being the one to lead and read this book as well and give it to their children?
Yeah, I think that this, again, this is a very simple devotion. That's why I put the scripture in there. So just starting with your family, like even with my son, I'm not at the stage where I don't force the whole rosary on him. Like, we'll do a decade every night and then, you know, God willing, we'll work our way up to the whole rosary. But I think with this, it's 7 Hail Marys. So it's a small devotion. You can start with your children now. And as you bring it up, you can introduce the themes of doing the scripture reflection. And even, like, you could spend 1 week just on one sorrow alone. So some people, it's like kind of Lectio Divina. Like, you don't have to wait. This isn't like a typical book that you're going to read in one night. And maybe you will, but it's also a book to be chewed on, like these scripture verses. And having conversations with your children about each of these sorrows and asking them about what is, you know, about suffering. You know, you could connect in the story of Fatima in here as well. You know, just how Mary asked the children to offer up their suffering. So I think these are all, but I definitely think the father, even mothers too can read it. But I think as men, you know, just to show our sons and daughters, like, to be strong. Be strong, you know, when they're faced with persecution, you know, when they're not liked by their peers or anything, that, you know, to always turn to their mother. You know, often we turn to, the last person we turn to is Christ and Mary in our sufferings. We want to go tell everyone, even myself, when I'm experiencing suffering, I want to call up a friend, but it's like, I just go directly to Mary and say, what are you trying to tell me in this moment? And so that's another thing that can be brought up.
Yeah, I love the two that you brought up. It does not have to be every night where you're doing all seven, you know, because it can too. And it's, you know, it's meant to be chewed on. Like, and I love that you put in that scripture verse as well, because you can even just stop there and just talk about that with your children as well. But then you dive into, obviously, the Hail Mary, and it goes into the prayer to our mother as well. And then I like, too, there's a little bit of a, it's almost like from the eyes of Mary in the first section that you put a little narrative as well, which I really enjoy as well, because it turns into more of like a storytelling type of thing as well. So I can't say enough good things. I really love the book, Patrick. Final thoughts for our listeners, where they can get the book, where they can find out more about you, and then we'll let you go.
Well, I think, you know, the book's available at Sophia Press's website, and also I think Amazon, it's on back order. And then my website is Patrick, and then R, my middle initial R, and then O'Hearn, also PatrickRHearn.com. And no, I think this book is not just for children. I think adults, as you mentioned, will love it. And there's a litany of Our Lady of Sorrows, that love in the back, and just titles of Mary. And I do feel like Our Lady, she wants to just guide her children to her son. And this, I believe this devotion is one of the most powerful devotions. You will find peace. So anyways, that's just grateful to be on your show. So thank you. Thank you, Jay.
Absolutely. And did you say Father Ripker wrote prayers too? Was there four prayers from
there's
him?
There's four prayers in the back. There's a prayer for your children's vocation. There's a prayer for daily protection, prayer and gratitude, and then a nightly prayer. And he wrote those four prayers specifically for this book. And they're really, you know, spiritual warfare prayers for children, and they're so powerful, because I think those are honestly the four most important prayers the child can really pray, is to ask for their vocation and then to ask Mary's protection as well. So I was grateful for his writing those prayers.
Yeah, he's quite the man. Yeah. If you guys haven't checked out Father Ripker, I know, again, we've talked about him all the time on the show. It's just type him on YouTube and you'll get a good laugh, and it'll make your head spin with his knowledge that he drops every day. Well, Patrick, thank you again so much for your time. Thank you for this amazing book and all the other books you've written as well. I'll leave links in the show notes for this book in particular, and also your website and other places they can find out more about you.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Until next time, go out there and be a saint.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of The Manly Catholic. If you have not already done so, please hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast to make sure you don't miss a single episode. It will also help grow the show and reach as many men as possible. We truly think this podcast can change families and help men to change the world. Thank you again so much for tuning in, and God bless you.